We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are on the top line of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. This limud is Leilu Nishmat Shelomo Ben Jamila, Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latifa, Yom Tov Ben Chana, Naim Ben Chatun, Ladisia Bat Yakot, Zulika Bat Chana, Eta Rivka Bat Mordechai, Esther Bat Ladisia, Rivka Bat Devora, Eva Shlomit Bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava Bat Sara, Luba Bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom, also Lizchut Refuah Shelema, for Elisheva Bat Neta, Gabriela Masuda Bat Sara, and Chana Bat Zulika. The Gemara is in the middle of discussing the machloket between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon Ben Menasya that we learned about in the middle of Daf Kaftet Amud Bet, regarding how do we look at the pasuk Velo Tihye Le'isha, when it says in the Torah regarding the me'anes, the rapist, that besides for the penalty, he also, Velo Tihye Le'isha, he has to marry her. So, according to Shimon HaTimni, Velo Tihye Le'isha, we learn Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya. It comes to include any woman that Kiddushin are tofes with. Which means, if Kiddushin can be chal, although it's a sinful marriage, but if Kiddushin are valid, if they are given, then that type is included in the halachot of the knas of the me'anis. Unlike the Tana of our Mishnah that holds that even by chayave keretot, even by women who he is liable to the punishment of karet if he is with her, the knas does apply. Now by karet, kiddushin is not tofes. And yet, according to our Mishnah, it is included in the halakha of the knas. However, according to Shimon HaTimni, no, it has to be that at least kiddushin, a type of relationship that kiddushin would be tofes. That's Shimon HaTimni, who says sheyesh ba'avaya. Shimon ben Menasya narrows it even further. He says it has to be isha hare'uya lekayma. It has to be a type of woman who not only is kiddushin tofes, but he's allowed to stay married with her. Oh. So then the Gemara wanted to explain, my benai, what's the nafkamina between them? So we started off by saying that the nafkamina between them would be mamzeret and netina. These are cases of chayave lavin, where kiddushin are tofes, but it is sinful. So according to Shimon HaTimni, it is included, because kiddushin are tofes. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, it's not included, because it is sinful. You're not allowed to stay married to the mamzeret and netina. And then the Gemara said, but what about, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that kiddushin are not tofes by chayave lavin, such as mamzer and netina? So now, what would be the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? So the Gemara says, the case would be Almana LeKohen Gadol. Almana LeKohen Gadol, according to Rabbi Simai, is an exception to the rule of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Kiddushin are not tofes by Chayave Lavin, but by Almana LeKohen Gadol, it is tofes. And therefore, according to Shimon HaTimni, it would be included in the Knas. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, it would not. However, that's the Pirush of Rabbi Simai in Rabbi Akiva's opinion. But Rabbi Yesheva argues with Rabbi Simai. He understands Rabbi Akiva not like that. He says that Rabbi Akiva holds that any kind of sinful bi'ah, the kiddushin is not tofes. The vlad is mamzer, and kiddushin is not tofes. In other words, almana lekohen gadol, also the kiddushin would not be tofes, according to Rabbi Akiva, based on the understanding of Rabbi Yeshevav. So, according to him, what is the nafkamina? And that's where we are holding the top line, chayave ase mitzri ve'adomi. The Gemara said, even according to Rabbi Yeshevav, you can say the nafkamina is by chayave ase, meaning prohibited relations only by isur aser, not isur of a lav. So in that case, even according to Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin would be tofes, and that's the nafkamina. Shimon HaTimni would hold that by chayave aser, such as mitzri, the first or second generation, which is only a isur that is derived from a mitzvat aseh of dor shel ishi yavo lahem. So in that case, since kiddushin would be tofes according to Rabbi Yeshevav, so Shimon HaTimni would hold it's included in the cases of knas, whereas according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, it would not be included. However, now the Gemara is going to tell us, well, there are two ways of understanding Rabbi Yeshevav's learning of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. When Rabbi Yeshevav said, take a look, three lines from the bottom of Kavtet Amud Bet, Rabbi Yeshevav says, Bo venitzvach al Akiva ben Yosef shaya omer kol she'en lo biya v'Yisrael avlad mamzer. So when he says that Rabbi Akiva holds anyone that en lo bi'ah, that is not allowed to have bi'ah with anyone, the vlad mamzer, any case where the bi'ah is asur, the vlad is mamzer, what is Rabbi Yeshevav coming to include here? Is he only coming to argue with Rabbi Simai? Or is he saying his own statement, and it's an absolute statement that any prohibition is Avlad Mamzer and Rabbi Akiva holds Kiddushin are not tofes? Look, this is what the Gemara says on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Let's start. Hanicha leRabbi Yeshevav, this is all good to say that the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya is the case of Chayve Aseh. That's only good according to Rabbi Yeshevav. Ile apokem itama de Rabbi Simai ka'ati. Shapir. It's only good if Rabbi Yeshevav was only coming to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Simai, which means Rabbi Simai said that Almana Kohen Gadol is the exception according to Rabbi Akiva. Comes along Rabbi Yeshevav and says, no, Almana Kohen Gadol is also according to Rabbi Akiva, Kiddushin are not tofes. Meaning, he's only arguing regarding Almana Kohen Gadol. Well, if that's the case, then yeah, you can say that still, according to Rabbi Yeshevav, there is a possibility of nafkamina, and that is Chayve Aseh. Chayve Aseh, Rabbi Akiva does not hold Kiddushin are not tofes, and therefore that can be the nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Ela itama de nafsheka amar. But if Rabbi Yeshevav is saying his own statement, not in argument with Rabbi Simai, he's saying, Kol she'en lo bi'ah b'Yisrael avlad mamzer va'afilu chayave aseh. Any kind of prohibited bi'ah is kiddush, the kiddushin is not tofes according to Rabbi Akiva. If that's what he meant to say, even and including chayave aseh, we're back to the question then. May benayhu, what is the case that is a difference between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? We have to find a case where the kiddushin are tofes and yet it is still prohibited. But according to Rabbi Yeshevav, learning in Rabbi Akiva, it seems like all biot asurot, all forbidden relations, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be the halacha would be that kiddushin are not tofes. Still, answers the Gemara, ika benayu. There is still enough kamina we can say between them, and that is beula le kohen gadol. If a kohen gadol rapes a beula, someone who is not a betula, who is not a virgin. So now, in this case, a be'ula le'kohen gadol, the Gemara is holding, even Rabbi Akiva, even according to the limud of Rabbi Yeshevav on his own, that Rabbi Akiva includes chayave aseh in the halacha that kiddushin are not tofes, however, in the relation of a be'ula le'kohen gadol, although it is sinful, but even according to Rabbi Akiva, Kiddushin would not be tofes. It's the most lenient. There are actually two leniencies over here. Number one, it's only Isur Aseh, because what's the positive commandment by Kohen Gadol? Vehu isha biftuleh ayikach. He is only allowed to take a betula. So for a Kohen Gadol to take a beula, that's a Isur Aseh, because she's not a betula. And as the Gemara will show us now, there is another leniency in this case. But first, let's see the question of the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Umayishna? That's the question. Umayishna, and what's the difference between, which means, why Be'ula le'Kohen Gadol, even according to Rabbi Akiva, he would hold that in this case, Kiddushin is Tofes, and therefore this could be a nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Why is this different than all the other chayave aseh? It's not only a isur aseh. It's a type of aseh she'eno shaveh bakol. It's a positive mitzvah whose application is not equal to everyone. It's only for the Kohen Gadol. That makes it more lenient. So you have two lenient aspects to this mitzvah. Number one, this is a isur of only aseh. It's not even a isur lav. And number two, it applies only to the Kohen Gadol, but not to everyone else. And therefore, even Rabbi Yesheva would agree that according to Rabbi Akiva, that a child that's born from relations between a Kohen Gadol and a Be'ula is not a Mamzer, and therefore the Kiddushin would be Tofes. And so, that would be a Nafkamina between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. According to Shimon HaTimni, if the Kohen Gadol was Me'anes a Be'ula, being that this is a case where the Kiddushin is Tofes, it is included in the din of knas of the me'anis. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, no, this too would not be included in the case of knas, because bottom line, it is a forbidden relations. Amar Rav Chisda says, Hakol modim, however, there is one point of agreement between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. They all agree, Beva al hanida, shemeshalem knas, that if someone was me'anes, a woman who is nida, there is knas. Even though the nida is isur karet, yet there is a knas that is applied. Leman de'amar yesh ba'avaya, hanam yesh ba'avaya. So now, according to Shimon HaTimni, that's easy. The reason why the knas applies is because he holds the criterion is that it should be a type of marriage or relations that yesh ba'avaya, that kiddushin are tofes. Well, by a nida, kiddushin are tofes. If a person is mekadesh, a woman who is in a state of nida, of course the kiddushin is valid. Leman de'ama re'uya lekayma, hanami re'uya lekayma. And even according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, whose criterion is that it should be a type of relations that is allowed to be maintained, that you're allowed to stay married, well, a woman who's nida, you're allowed to stay married. So therefore, according to both Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, in the case of Ba'al Hanida, the knas would apply. Now, up until here, we were explaining how the words of the Mishnah that told us that knas of Me'anes applies by Chayave Lavin and also Chayave Kretot is coming to go in exclusion of the opinion of Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. That we explained. Right? According to them, Chayave Lavin would not be included in Knas. Now the Gemara is going to explain that the words of the Mishnah that says Chayave Kretot even, Knas applies. That even if it's a type of relation that is liable for the punishment of Karet, still the Knas of Me'anes applies. This is coming Le'apokemi de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Our Mishnah is coming to exclude, to argue with the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braita, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana haya ose et Yom HaKippurim keShabbat letashlumim. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, he would render Yom Kippur like Shabbat regarding the issue of payment for damages. And he would say, Ma Shabbat mitchayev benafsho upatu min atashlumim, af Yom HaKippurim mitchayev benafsho upatu min atashlumim. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would say, just like by Shabbat, if someone desecrates Shabbat, which is something that is punishable by skila, by stoning, by a mitat bedin, a death penalty by the bedin, is patur min atashlumim. If let's say while he was desecrating the Shabbat, he also damaged, let's say he burnt the pile of his friend on Shabbat, the pile of produce, a gadish, he burnt it on Shabbat. So now there are two things here that he did. He damaged the property of his friend by burning it. And when did he burn it? On Shabbat. He made a fire on Shabbat. So we know the halakha is that if that is the case on Shabbat, then he's patur min atashlumin. He doesn't have to pay for the damages because anyway, since he is liable for the death penalty at the hands of Bedin, the punishment of skila, so we say, kimle bederabba mineh, you take the higher punishment. And the higher punishment obviously is death, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. So now, that we hold by Shabbat. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would compare Yom HaKippurim also to this. Now, Yom HaKippurim, someone who does work, melacha, on Yom Kippur, it's not like on Shabbat, which is skila. Rather, it's only karet. Yet, if let's say on Yom Kippur, the person made a fire and he burned someone else's gadish, pile of produce, it would be, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, the same halacha, that he's patur min atashlumim. Ma Shabbat mitchayev ben nafsho upatur min atashlumim. Just like Shabbat, he is liable for his own life, and therefore he's exempt from the monetary payment. There, same thing, Yom HaKippurim, being that he's liable for his own life, albeit only karet-wise, not skila, patur min atashlumim. So therefore, our Mishnah that holds that by chayave kretot, where there is the punishment of karet, there is the payment of knas, such as the me'anes, someone who is me'anes, someone who he is prohibited in a way of karet, that's punishable by karet, still there is a knas, that's not like these words of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. The Gemara asks, "My tama de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, why is it that he compares the isur karet to chayave mitot bedin?" Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Ne'emar." It says in Parashat Mishpatim in the pasuk regarding someone who hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry the children. So it states there, "Ne'emar ason bide adam." It says in the pasuk, "Velo yihye ason." And there won't be harm, ason. So now, ason in that pasuk is bide adam, because it's talking about the harm that happens through the hitting of a person. So it says the word ason in a pasuk that is referring to bide adam. Ve'ne'emar ason bide shamayim, and elsewhere in the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu speaking about his son, why he should not go down to Mitzrayim. It says over there in the pasuk, ve'kara hu ason, and maybe harm will be caused to him. And that is referring to ason bide shamayim, harm at the hand of heaven. So we have here a gezera shava. Ma ason ha'amur bide adam patur min atashlumim, just like ason that is stated by bide adam is patur min atashlumim. What's the case of ason bide adam? The punishment of skila, the punishment for Shabbat, is a ason, is harm, is a punishment that is given by adam, by the bedin, by human beings. And in that case, what's the halacha? He's patur min atashlumim if in the interim he was mechalel Shabbat and he damaged someone's property. The halacha is that he's patur from tashlumim, as we said, af ason ha'amur bide shamayim, so too when the ason is bide shamayim. When is the ason bide shamayim? Someone who violates Yom HaKippurim. That's only karet. Karet is bide shamayim. Patur min tashlumim. He's also exempt from paying. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana makes a gzera shava ason, ason. And in one place, the ason refers to bidei shamayim. In one place, it refers to bidei adam. So therefore, we compare skila to karet. Just like by skila, if a person is mechalel Shabbat and he causes damage, he is patur from paying the damage because of the punishment of death of skila. So to on Yom Kippur, if he's mechalel Yom Kippur and he causes damage, he's patur from paying the damages due to the punishment of karet, which is bidei shamayim. Matkifle Ravada Baraba. Ravada Baraba asks a very strong question on this Gezera Shava of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Mimai dechi kamazhar lu Yaakov levane al tzinim upachim de bide shamayim ninhu? I mean, how do we know that when Yaakov Avinu was warning his sons regarding the ason that might befall Binyamin if he goes down to Mitzrayim, how do we know he's referring, he's warning them from an ason that's bide shamayim, such as tzinim upachim, cold and heat, which are bide shamayim? Dilma al arya veganave de bide adam ninhu. Maybe he was worried about ason that is bide adam, a harm either by lions or by thieves, which is by the hands of man. Which means, unlike heat and cold, these dangers are dangers that are bide adam. Maybe that's what he was worried about. So both words of ason, even the ason that is written by Yaakov Avinu, is referring to bide adam. How do you assume that the ason that is stated by Yaakov Avinu is referring to ason of bide shamayim, and therefore make the comparison of ason bide shamayim to ason bide adam? So the Gemara says, yeah, but what do you mean? Atu Yaakov aha azhar, aha lo azhar. What? Are you telling me that Yaakov warned them only about harm at the hand of men, but not about harm at the hand of Shamayim? Yaakov al kol mili azhar. Yaakov is warning them about any potential harmful matters that might befall Binyamin, not only one particular form. And therefore included in that is even bide shamayim. So when it says ason in that pasuk of Yaakov Avinu, it's referring to bide shamayim as well. And therefore the gzera shava of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is intact. Now the Gemara asks a question, by the way, v'tzinim pachim bide shamayim ninhu? It seems from the question of Ravada Barava that he assumed that tzinim pachim is bide shamayim, that getting a cold or a heat stroke is something that is in the hands of heaven. Is that so? Ve'atanya, did we not learn in a braita, hakol bide shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim? Everything is in the hands of heaven except for catching a cold or a heat stroke. Shene'emar, as it states in Mishle Perek Kav Bet, tzinim pachim bederech ikesh. Cold and heat are on the path of the crooked person. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. He who guards his well-being will keep himself far from them. What do we see from this pasuk? That tzinim pachim, cold and heat, are forms of harm that are not bide shamayim. It's caused by the person himself, that a person can protect himself from them. Right? So how do you assume, why do you assume that tzinim pachim is bide shamayim? And the Gemara continues to ask furthermore, vitu, and furthermore, arya veganave bide adam ninhu? You seem to assume as well in your question that arya, an attack by lions, or ganave, by thieves, are forms of harms that's bide adam, at the hands of men. Is that so? Ve'ha'amar Rav Yosef v'chentani Rav Yechia, didn't Rav Yosef say, and didn't Rav Yechia teach from a braita, miyom sheharav bet hamikdash, from the day the bet hamikdash was destroyed, afal pi shebatlu Sanhedrin, although the Sanhedrin was abolished, and they can't carry out the four kinds of death penalties, but arba mitot lo batlu, but the four death penalties themselves were not abolished. And the Gemara immediately parenthetically asks, lo batlu, were not abolished? What do you mean? Ha batlu lehu, but they are abolished. We don't have a Sanhedrin, so there's no capital punishment. Ela, rather, what it means is, din arba mitot lo batlu, the punishment of the four death penalties were not abolished. And what does that mean? How is that? How were they not abolished? Let's say someone who was punishable, who did something that is punishable by skila, by stoning. Well, we don't have skila per se, we don't have the Sanhedrin to carry it out, but o nofel min hagag o chayat dorasto, he either falls from a roof or a beast will attack him and trample him. That's similar to stoning, because it involves stoning in the Bet Din would involve being pushed off from an elevated place, and then he would be stoned. So this takes the place of skila. So although we don't have the Bet Din to carry it out, but it is carried out bide shamayim. O nofel min hagag, chas v'shalom, o chayat dorasto. O mi shenitchayef srefa, or someone who was liable to be executed by burning. O nofel bidleka, o nachash makisho. Either he falls into a fire, chas v'shalom lo alenu, or a snake bites him, which creates a burning sensation. Umi shenitchayev hariga, and let's say someone was liable to be executed by hariga, which means death by the sword, by decapitation. Onim sar la malchut, o listim ba'im alav. Even nowadays, it's either handed over to the monarchy for execution by the sword, or bandits attack and they kill him. That's also hariga. And finally, someone who is liable to be executed by chenek, by strangulation, when the Sanhedrin was in function. Nowadays, it could be chas v'shalom, o tovea banahar, he either drowns in the river, o met bisronchi, or he dies from something called sronchi. It's a type of disease, lo aleinu, that starts by the in the throat of a person, and it can cause a person to be, you know, as if he is strangulated, a choking. And so therefore, we see that this is bidei shamayim. So what do you mean in the question of Ravada Bar Ava, where he said, Arya in ganave is bidei adam, tzinim pachim is bidei shamayim, but we see the opposite. Ela epuch. Therefore, you have to reverse the order of the previous statement. Arya veganave bidei shamayim, tzinim upachim bidei adam. It's the other way around. So you have to amend the words of Rav Ada Bar Ahava, the question of Rav Ada Bar Ahava. Now, so far, going back to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, when the Gemara asked us, "Mai ta'ama de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana?" What's the reason of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, who compares karet to mitod bedin regarding the din of the concept of kim lebidrava mine, that if he desecrates Shabbat or Yom Kippur and he does so while damaging property, he is patur from payment in both. So Abaye says he learns it from the Gezerah Shavah of Ason Ason. He learns Ason Bidei Shamayim from Ason Bidei Adam. So till now we heard Abaye's reasoning of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Rava Amar, Rava has a different take on what the reason is. Tama de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, the reason why he holds that that chayave keretot are patur from payment, that even a person who desecrates Yom Kippur and damages, he's patur from payment, mehacha, is from the following pasuk. Ve'im ha'alem ya'alimu ama'aretz et enehem min ha'ishahu betito mizar'o lamolech. This is talking about the sin of sacrificing one's son, one's child, chas v'shalom, to the molech, which is a form of child sacrifice to Avodah Zarah. If one does so, so there is a punishment by Bedin, which is Skila. So the Pasuk says, however, im ha'alem ya'alimu ama'aretz et enehem, if the people of the land, meaning the Bedin, if they will ignore, if they will look away from what he did, and they will not punish him, as I told them to, v'samti ani et panai ba'ishahu, Hashem says, and I will set my face against that man, ubimishpachto, against his family, v'ichrati oto, and I will cut him off. That's the punishment of karet. So we see here, in the same pasuk, we have a comparison between mitat bedin, a death penalty that is supposed to be sentenced and carried out by bedin, and the punishment of karet. What do we learn from this? Says Rava, Amrat Torah, the Torah is saying, karet sheli kemita shelachem. My punishment of karet, Hashem says, is like your is compared to your punishment of the arba mitod bedin. Ma mita shelachem, just like the arba mitod bedin, the four death penalties of the bedin, patu min atashlumin. He's exempt from payment if he did something like that simultaneous with his offense. Af karet sheli patu min atashlumin. So too by karet, it also makes the person patur from payment. Okay, so Abaye says the reasoning of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is from the Gzera Shava of Ason Ason. We learn Ason bide Shamayim from Ason bide Adam. Rava learns it from the pasuk of Ve'im Ha'alem Ya'alim, as we just saw. Asks the Gemara, Mai Ika ben Rava le Abaye? What's the nafkamina between them? What could be a practical difference between these two explanations of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana? Answers the Gemara, Ika benayu zar she'achal teruma. The difference between them is regarding a non-Kohen who intentionally ate teruma. Teruma which belongs to the Kohen, and a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, is not allowed to eat teruma. So that's called the zar she'achal teruma. Le'abaye patu u'le'rava chayav. So now, according to Abaye, it will come out that he's exempt from paying the Kohen, the value of the Truma. Because since a non-Kohen who ate Truma is liable to receive mitabi de shamayim, death at the hand of heaven, so in that case, according to Abaye, he would be patur from paying the money to the Kohen. Because after all, by eating Truma, he took away property that belongs to the Kohen. But at the same time, by eating it, what he did was do something that carries with it a death offense, mita bide shamayim, right? So bottom line, it's mita bide shamayim. And therefore, we learn ason bide shamayim from ason bide adam. just like by Ason Bide Adam, you're patur from Tashlumim, Ason Bide Shamayim, you're also patur mi Tashlumim. So that's why Abaye would hold, you are patur from the Tashlumim of paying the Kohen. Ule Rava Chayav. But according to Rava, you will be Chayav. Because he's learning it from the juxtaposition between Karet specifically and the death at the hands of Bedin. Because in this Pasuk, where he brought V'imalem Yarimu, it talks about the death of Bedin, and it says V'ichrati oto, Karet. Now Karet and Mitabi de Shamayim are two different punishments. Karet is much more severe, although it's Bidei Shamayim, but it's much more severe than just plain Mitabi de Shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. And therefore, since the juxtaposition, the smichut in the pasuk, is specifically for karet, so only karet makes someone patur from tashlumim, according to Rava's explanation of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. But zar she'achal turma, who's not chayav karet, he's only chayav, he's only punished by mitabi de shamayim, in that case he would still be chayav to pay. So that would be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. According to Abaye, Mita b'deshamayim falls under the category of Ason b'deshamayim, harm at the hands of heaven. So therefore it's included in the halakha that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says he's patur mina tashlumin. But according to Rava, it has to be specifically karet. But if it's Mita b'deshamayim, he's chayav b'tashlumin. Asks the Gemara, ule Abaye patur? What? And in, according to Abaye, would a non-Kohen actually be patur? Would he be exempt from paying for the Truma? V'ha'amar Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda said, Mode Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana begonev chelbo shel chavero va'achalo shehu chayav. Rav Chisda said that in the following scenario, even Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would hold, he would agree, that you are still chayav to pay, even though you committed a sin that has the death penalty. What would that be? Begonev chelbo shel chavero v'achalo. If someone stole another person's chelev, chelev is forbidden fat, which if a person eats forbidden fat, the halacha is ischayav karet. That's the punishment for eating chelev that is asur. Let's say a person stole from his friend chelev and he ate it. So here he committed a sin with the penalty of karet, death penalty of karet, and also he stole it from his friend. So does he have to pay or not? Says Rav Chisda, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana agrees in this case that he would have to pay shu chayav. Why? But I thought you hold that any time there is a death penalty, you are patur from monetary payments. Shekvar nitchayev bigneva kodem shebalidei isur chelev. Because the two sins did not come simultaneously. They didn't come together. Because the obligation to pay for stealing was already there. It came before the punishment for eating chelev even started. Because the punishment for eating chelev is when he actually ate the chelev. But the obligation to pay back was from the moment that he stole the chelev with his hands. So that was before. So therefore, when the two offenses do not come together at the same time, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says Rav Chisda agrees that you are liable for both the payment and for the death penalty. Shekvar nitchayev bigneva kodem shebalidei isur chelev. Alma, what do we see from the words of Rav Chisda? De meidana de agbehe kanye. That from the time that he lifted the chelev from the property of his friend, he already acquired it, right? That means then he's obligated to pay for it. Mitchayev benafsho lo hava ad achille. Liable for his life, meaning punishable by death, that's only when he eats it. That's later on. So we could say the same thing over here. By zar she'achal truma, hachanami. Over here also, beidana de agbehe. When the non-kohen picked up the truma from the property of the kohen, kanye, he already acquires it, which means now he is obligated to pay for it. Mitchayev benafsho lo havia de achile. The punishment of mitabi de shamayim is only when he actually eats it, so it's later on. So how could Abaye say that that would be the case where, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, you would be patur from tashlumim? No. He would, even according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, he would be chayav et tashlumim, because the two sins are not simultaneous. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, zar she'achal truma is the nafkamina le'abaye patur, and le'rava chayav?
The Gemara says, "Hacha b'maskinan." It's referring specifically to the case, the following case: "Kegon shetahavlo havero letoch piv." It's talking about where the kohen shachal truma. The zar shachal truma, the non-kohen who ate truma. It doesn't mean he took it with his hands and then he ate it. No, it's talking about a case where another person took the truma and inserted it into his mouth, into this person's mouth. So now in that case, the both of the offenses are simultaneous, because the acquisition and the liability to receive death penalty are together at the same time. When did he acquire it? When it came into his mouth. When is he obligated, when is he punishable for the death penalty? When it came into his mouth. So it's both at the same time. In that case, according to Abaye, he would be patu. Because it's mita b'deshamayim, and we learn ason b'deshamayim from ason b'deadam, and therefore he's patur min hatashlumim. According to Rava, he would be chayav because it's not karet. The Gemara asks, "Sof sof kevan de laase kanye mitchayev benafsho lo ave ade bal'a." Really, the truth is, the Gemara is asking, when does he acquire the truma? When his friend put the truma in his mouth? When does the one who has it now in his mouth acquire it? It's by chewing it. Immediately when he begins chewing it, it becomes his, so he's obligated to pay. But mitchayev benafsho, but the liability, the punishment of death of eating it, is lo havi adebala, is only after he swallows it. So further, it's not simultaneous. The obligation to pay came before when he was chewing. The punishment of death came after when he actually swallows it. So the Gemara answers that by saying, kegon shetachav lo letoch beta belia. Talking about that his friend stuck it down his throat. He put it into his throat. So in other words, the swallowing and the acquisition were simultaneous. Since they are simultaneous, according to Abaye, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana would say, you are patum in atashlumin. Now the Gemara is getting specific. The Gemara says, hey chidami, what are exactly the circumstances of this scenario? If we're talking about that he put it in his throat, but he's able to retrieve it, meaning to remove it out of his mouth without ruining it, he could still take it out of his mouth. Nehdar, let him retrieve it. Let him take it out of his throat. And if he would do that, he would not be liable to pay, right? If he fails to do that, so then the liability or the payment comes before the liability of the death penalty. Meaning, because if it's still at a state, even if it was put into his throat, but if it's still at a state where he has the option to take it out, so then he's not yet liable for the death penalty of eating it. It's not considered eating yet, right? It's only after he totally swallows it. Whereas the obligation to pay is right then and there. So the obligation to pay is still before the moment of chiyuv. Ilo matzile adura. Now, if you're telling me that no, his friend put it all the way down his throat to a point where he can't even take it out, amai chayav. In that case, why would he be liable to pay? I mean, the poor guy, he didn't do anything. Another person puts it down his throat. He didn't steal it. He didn't ask for someone to do such a thing. Answers the Gemara, lo, tzricha, it's talking about the matzile adura al yedei adchak. He's able to take it out, but only with great effort. Which means you already put it down the throat to the point where to take it out, it would be disgusting. So therefore, the payment over here is not because of gneva. The payment is not because he stole. Because he didn't steal. The person put it down his throat in such a way. But he has to pay because, bottom line, he enjoyed the food of truma. And so therefore, this enjoyment of the food of truma and the chiyuv of mita, because he's swallowing it after all, that comes with the swallowing. They do come simultaneous in this case. And therefore, that's why Abaye holds that he would be patu min atashlumim. Rav Papa gives another answer. Kegon shetachav lo chaverom mashkim shel truma letoch piv. It's a case where a person took liquid of truma, such as, let's say, oil or wine of truma, and he poured it down the person's throat. So in this case, immediately when it comes into his mouth, it's already something that you cannot retrieve, you cannot return. It's already nim'as. So therefore, the payment here is not because of stealing. Rather, the payment is because of hana'at gono, is because of the enjoyment that he had from truma. And that comes simultaneously with the chiyuv of mita, with the death penalty due to the fact that he allowed himself to swallow it. Therefore, Abaye would hold that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana in this case would say that he's patur from paying because of the rule of kimle b'drabamine. He gets the punishment of death and not the punishment of payment. Rav Ashi amar, Rav Ashi gives a different scenario. Bizar she'achal truma mishelo, a zar, a non-kohen, who took his own truma, which means there is a possibility, there's such a scenario where a zar, a non-kohen, can actually inherit truma. Let's say the father of his mother is a kohen. So he inherited from him property, and included in that property was truma. Now he's not allowed to eat the truma, but the truma is his. He didn't steal it from anybody. And what did he do? He took that truma, which he's not supposed to eat, and he ate it. And at the same time that he ate it, v'kara shira'in shel chavero, at the same moment that he was eating the truma, he also tore another person's silk shirt. So now the question is like this: the liability of the death penalty for eating the truma, does that make him exempt from the payment that he incurred at precisely that same moment? At the same moment that he's eating the truma and he's chayav mita, he did something that he's also chayav tashlumin. So that would be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. According to Abaye, he would be patu mina tashlumin, because even by mitabi de shamayim, we say, since we learn from the Gzera Shava, ason, ason, that also Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana holds that in that case as well, you would be patumina tashlumin, since at the same time you are doing something that carries a liability of death, therefore you are patur from payment. According to Rava, even according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, you would be chayav to pay, because the punishment for eating truma is not karet, it's only mitabi de shamayim. And only by karet did Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana say that you're patumina tashlumin, not by mitabi de shamayim. So that could be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava.